Yo, what's up, fantasy chumps? How's it going? Breaking news, we actually kicked Layton out of the group, so he will not be hosting anymore. Till further ado, it is
happy trails. Yeah, enjoy Dallas, you freaking chump.
Ouch.
No,
okay.
Psych, we got Layton with us. Layton and John, how are you guys doing? Welcome back.
I'm great.
You kind of hurt.
Well, your feelings don't matter.
Yeah, I know.
That's what you get for not joining the Zoom call.
I know. You're right. I'm not good enough for the Zoom call, but no, I'm not at my place, so I'm just doing it on my phone, sitting in a chair, and I need to plug my phone in, so I'm like up against the wall awkwardly. I'm glad nobody can see me right now.
Attaboy. So that's what we call grit.
Yeah, dedication.
Well, this,
I'm actually doing a wall sit.
Dang, that's awesome.
But also, there's other big time news. Layton, I hear you're wireless now.
Yes, I'm using some AirPods to record.
I don't know if you can hear these claps, but this is a monumental step for Layton's audio.
It's big time.
I'm getting bodied tonight.
Well, this is also a very special episode. We've got a very good friend of the show, dear friend of mine, Connor Olson, is joining us tonight.
Hey, I'm friends with him too.
We're all friends with him.
Yeah, what's going on, guys? Long time listener, first time caller. Happy to be on the pod and excited to break down some of this final preseason weeks and get ready to get geared up for the season.
Absolutely. Well, we're happy you can join us. I've been in a couple leagues with Connor now, two dynasty leagues, and we've been going through a redraft league for probably 2 or 3 years now. We've got some fantasy experience together. But before we really get into it, I wanted to get into a quick intro of Connor just to kind of get his fantasy football experience and background. So, Connor, could you tell us maybe what types of leagues you've participated in over the years, favorite formats?
Yeah, happy to. So I started in high school, so probably 2013, 2014, as most males do.
This sounds like an AA meeting. I started
when
in high school.
I first got addicted to fantasy football.
Context is very important.
Context is key. But primarily then it was a lot of standard redraft 10-team leagues. As time's kind of gone on, we've gotten more into the PPRs. The game has kind of evolved, and a lot of fantasy football is starting to reflect that as well. So a lot of PPR, a lot of standard redraft. Just recently, Nate, this is actually our dynasty league, not the Chump Dynasty, but we are in one of the crazier rostered leagues I'd say I've ever been in, with an IDP and a super flex in there as well, and that's a dynasty, so that one's getting pretty crazy.
Sure is.
So a little bit of kind of differentiated leagues, but mostly just standard and PPR. I was a diehard standard for a long time. Loved the running back is king philosophy. But the last couple years, I'm starting to get more into the PPR because wide receivers are pretty fun just to watch and to have on your team. So there's definitely a lot of flashy draw there. So mostly standard PPR, but a little bit of experience and some more exotic rosters for sure.
Definitely. I like what you said about the game evolving and fantasy starting to reflect that.
Starting to catch up, yeah.
I feel like, too, now a lot of NFL teams kind of use screen games as an extension of their run game. And so I think, I think PPR is kind of a good way to factor that in, you know, wide receivers or running backs getting those behind the line touches.
Absolutely. And there got to a point probably around 2018, where it was if you were in a standard league and you didn't have one of the top five running backs, it was a long road to compete. Mm-hmm. And just throwing the little, even if it's just a half point, throwing the PPR in there balances it out a lot, especially with how much depth there is at the receiver position. So
Yeah.
It's good to see. It's good to see.
Definitely. Well, that's some good insight. Connor?
Also, Connor, who's your favorite team?
The Seattle Seahawks. It's nice dark question. Times, but there's some brighter days ahead, hopefully, here.
Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun, Nate. I just kind of wanted to make sure that
was well. No, you literally read my mind. Yeah, so Connor, you're phoning in from where right now?
Bend, Oregon, right in the middle of Oregon. So no four major sports teams out here in Oregon. Oh, Portland Trailblazers, I should correct that actually. But kind of football, baseball, not really either of those. So a lot of people out here you'll see be Seattle fans. And I kind of born and raised into those fandoms as well. So all Seattle sports, really, and then Portland Trailblazers are going to be my major sports teams there.
Gotcha. Excellent. Well, Connor, could you tell us your favorite fantasy football player of all time?
Non-Seahawks related.
Non-Seahawks. Yeah, that could differentiate it a little bit there. So I kind of have a one and a half here. So for the actual player, it's going to be Lamar Jackson. I mean, just is there a more fun player to watch in the NFL? Is there a more fun player to have on your team when he runs for 120 and two touchdowns and takes six pairs of ankles along the way? But on a broader – yeah, the human joystick, exactly. But on a broader scale, really just the running quarterback. I think there's a lot of fun positions and fun players in the NFL, but having a running quarterback as your QB1 – and knowing that as soon as you are within 10 yards of the goal, and if you are anything in goal, the probability of a read option QB pulls and goes around the outside and gets you that extra touchdown bonus, very hard to beat. And then on top of that, I mean, and it's really been in the last 5 years probably, but another great feeling is if you're looking pretty evenly matched up against another roster and you're sitting on a Lamar Jackson or a Kyler Murray, Jalen Hurts, one of these guys, and you're sitting there looking at, God, Aaron Rodgers, Ben Roethlisberger back in the day, Drew Brees. Is there a possibility that that guy against you throws 4 or 5 touchdowns and evens the score? Absolutely. But knowing that you have the advantage that your quarterback could just pop a couple into the end zone is such a good feeling to have, in my opinion, when you're matching up. So really love Lamar Jackson. Really love the running QB in fantasy football.
The running quarterback is kind of an ace in the hole. If you're in an evenly matched kind of matchup for a week, I remember might've been last year late. And I think I was matched up against you for a week and you were on your big Jalen Hurts sleeper hype train, and Eagles honestly were playing terrible, and I mean just like the brakes blown off of them, and randomly Jalen Hurts showed up with like a 35 point game just because he ran in a touchdown at the end, just got some garbage time yards. So
That's a good point too. I mean, you can have your team getting blown out, but the quarterback can still scramble for a touchdown and keep you in the game. So it provides value. I mean, if you've got a good quarterback with no receivers, I mean, and they're not running, you could be in for a long game there. But having that extra threat, I mean, it's just so valuable.
All right, Connor, who is your least favorite fantasy football player of all time? And tell us the story there.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and there's actually a second guy that I could probably tack on to this as well. This one is going to be a very anecdotal personal experience one, but it's going to be Eddie Lacy for me. After that man comes out and looks like a world beater early in his career, starts to put on the weight a little bit. You start hearing the rumors in training camp, and then, you know, production dips in that first year. But, you know, that first two seasons were just so electric. You know, you see Eddie Lacy, potential path to RB1, slide down to the second, third round. And I specifically fell into this trap for probably 3-4 years. We started saying, wow, that's really good value for a guy with a path to RB1. And it's not like he has an injury history. It's not like there's a concern for more injuries or anything like that. The dude literally just has to watch his diet and exercise, and he's going to be right as rain. What could possibly go wrong here? only for him to bust for three consecutive years on my roster and leave me with a massive hole. So special place in my heart for Eddie Lacy, simply because I just continued to believe in him and continued to get burned.
Put that man on Weight Watchers.
Yeah, put that man on Weight Watchers. Get him on The Biggest Loser. Do something.
Sounds like you're the loser.
Second kind of guy I could put in this same line, this one's much more recent, is Miles Sanders, another guy that every single year seems to get hyped that he has a path to RB1. Dude can catch a pass. He's the RB1 in a run-centric offense. He's got a great O-line, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, last year, I believe he didn't have a touchdown. I mean, how can you not – like, how much easier can it be to hate a guy drafting him in the second or third just to watch him not score a single touchdown all year and sit on a solid 2-4 week in and week out? So – little less for Miles Sanders, but he easily could fall in that category as well.
All right, funny little thing here. I just looked this up. Miles Sanders on ESPN is currently rated as the running back 25. What odds are you giving a better than 25 running back finish for Miles Sanders?
Ooh.
Do you think there's any world where he can do that? I don't.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody else
can. Yeah, he can.
That's my point. This is why I fall in the trap, is that I could totally see it. I could totally see Miles Sanders staying healthy behind a great Eagles O-line. You're going to watch it unfold in front of you.
You're aiding Eagles, in the disease.
Exactly. Great Eagles O-line. It's going to be a heavy, heavy run offense. Yes, there's competition, but none of them have the pedigree or capital put into them that Miles Sanders does. He can catch a ball out of the backfield, supposedly. I mean, the path is there. The path is always there.
Miles Sanders has RB1 upside. That's what I'm hearing.
He has RB1 upside and RB75 downside. So,
no, yeah. Connor, I think he's due for some. Yeah, no, he's due for some touchdown, you know, uptick, yeah, right?
Statistically,
he's got to be, but – I mean, it's the same deal with Eddie Lacy, and I'm trying to be smarter this time. Is how many times am I going to fall for the same debauchery preseason?
Well, those are funny. I think we all have our own least favorite fantasy football players of all time. I definitely have a few, but let's get into some upcoming fantasy kind of value picks. Absolutely. Do you have a certain player that you're kind of watching as a sleeper this year?
I do, and I mean, this list is always very long, this time of year, but one guy that I've been really kind of dialing in on is going to be Damian Pierce. You're looking at him as where is it now? I got to check my
I'm seeing him as running back 42.
Yeah, he's running, way down there.
Yeah, running back 42 going off in the – 14th round, and
sure,
he's already kind of getting good reports out of training camp. His competition are a couple of good NFL veterans and Rex Burkhead and Marlon Mack, but being a young guy with explosive attributes and the ability to make one cut and go, you know, I've seen a lot of reports saying this could be a young Arian Foster coming on the Texans, just a very powerful, hard runner that could really kind of force his way into that RB1 spot in Houston. And I mean, in round 14, I mean, there's no risk there. He's two picks above the run on defenses. So you're taking very little risk there. And the upside is just phenomenal if he's churning out, you know, 50 to 100 yards a game on high volume RB1 touches and with potential for kind of ground and pound red zone looks as well. So that's a guy I'm really keeping my eye on. I think it could be a surprising season on a poor Houston roster for Damian Pierce.
I love that one.
I like it.
Alrighty, maybe we shouldn't have had Connor on before we drafted.
Yeah, Connor kind of knows his stuff, doesn't he?
This isn't a Scott or Ethan guest appearance.
Oh my gosh.
All right. Well,
I can't wait for you to get paired in a bunk with both of those guys. Like, you have to sleep in the same bed as Scott, and Ethan's like right above you.
That's all right.
All right. Well, I think now we can kind of get into a couple of the news headlines that we've been hearing. I'm going to actually kick this one over to Connor first. Connor, tell me about the Kenneth Walker news in Seattle.
Yeah, absolutely. So this one's been bubbling up probably over the last week or so. You know, early preseason, obviously Rashad Penny had a great end to his season last year, and he was coming in healthy to this season for, I believe, the first time in his career outside of maybe his rookie year. So things were looking really good for Rashad Penny. Then the Seahawks decided to go and draft Ken Walker out of Michigan State, which was a pick I liked. I think the Seahawks needed to get back to the kind of ground and pound game. That's what the head coach, Pete Carroll, is known for, and it's what he can coach best out of. So I was excited about that pick. But lately, we've been seeing Ken Walker kind of pop up as questionable in the news outlets. And the first report was that he has a minor sports hernia, which, I mean, already there is not a sign you like to see. That's a notoriously kind of pesky injury. And that could be, if it goes to surgery or even if it doesn't, that could be 6 to 8 weeks out of our rookie running back there. Second round guy too. I mean, that's a pretty high draft capital.
Tough blow.
And pretty tough blow, exactly. So there's that. And then I think it came out yesterday or today, but it's pretty cloudy on the specifics right now. But he's undergone a quote-unquote separate procedure. Hopefully we get more details on it in the coming days. But, I mean, with a sports hernia, however minor it is, already looming and some cloudy news, I guess you could call it, on the separate procedure, it's a little bit dicey on how much Ken Walker we're actually going to be seeing on the Seattle Seattle roster this year.
Yeah. This one's tough for me, too. I just drafted him in my Dynasty rookie draft. Yeah, I was pretty high on Ken Walker. I was high on him for redraft, too. I'd actually heard a little bit of news that even Rashad Penny was, like, kind of dealing with some groin stuff.
Yeah, so both were.
Yeah, so he was kind of elevated, but now probably steering clear. But next, it sounded like John and Leighton might know a little bit about this one, but Aaron Rodgers reported to be kind of having a come to Jesus meeting with his young wide receiver core. Can you guys speak to that at all?
Yeah. So I guess I don't know if it was after practice or if it was after a team meeting or just talking to reporters. Aaron Rodgers made a statement, a pretty emphatic statement about his young receivers in Green Bay, essentially saying that they need to grow up and be better at catching a football, which, you know, not a big deal by any means. He just totally trashed them on the one thing that they're allowed to do. So let me see if I can find the quote.
This is honestly hilarious.
Yeah. Oh gosh, it's got to be here somewhere. So that's a couple things that you can take away from it. One, I mean, I think we all know the name by now, Romeo Doubs. He's a guy that I think there's a lot of hype around. I don't know if he's included in that. He did catch a touchdown in their preseason game. I'd be concerned because, like, Rodgers likes to have his guy, and I think he hyper targets his guy, whoever it is. If it's not Romeo Doubs, you know, this could be writing on the wall that maybe, you know, it's not a breakout season for him, and Alan Lazard really is going to be the wide receiver one in Green Bay. But, yeah, I was very shocked whenever I heard the quote. I'm trying to find it.
We might be looking at an Aaron Jones wide receiver one upcoming season for the Packers at this rate.
Yeah, did you guys see the report? It was looking like – I think it was Rodgers who said it. He said it's not out of the realm of possibility that both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon catch 50 passes each this year.
All right.
I did see that. And I think that encourages me for both people because I was hearing that kind of they were going to be getting a lot of split work. But I've been hearing a little bit that Aaron Jones is being flexed out into like a slot position more or less, which I think he can be pretty good in. I'd like him lining up behind Rodgers more than he probably will be, but I think this helps AJ Dillon's ADP value, at least for me.
All right, so I've got the quote, Aaron Rodgers.
Heck yes.
The young guys, especially young receivers, we've got to be way more consistent. A lot of drops, a lot of bad route decisions, running the wrong route. We've got to get better in that area. Like, just trash him a little harder.
Not my QB one.
No. Like, even if Sky Moore was having a bad camp, I think Mahomes would still be like, yeah, like, Sky's a great, like, young guy. He's going to be a big part of the offense here in a couple years. Like, he's already showing huge. Yeah, right. And then Rodgers is like, yeah, no, I just give me my drugs. I don't care.
Maybe he shouldn't have taken $50 million a year and they could have kept Adams or something. I don't know. Just
I mean, he kind of has gotten a rough go, like, not having a first-round wide receiver. That's pretty tough.
No, but they have some really good, you know, D lineman and a linebacker now, right? They can catch right. passes.
Linebackers win championships. That's what I heard.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, then the last piece of news that we've got jotted down. The headline that I have is Antonio Gibson getting demoted to the special teams in Washington. it sounds like more maybe that he. There's speculation that he kind of just got flexed to special teams, potentially being one of the better kick returners in Washington. But I think for what we all assume to be a running back one in Washington, I think getting flexed over to special teams is never a good sign. But I don't know if you guys have any takes on that. This is a pretty big piece of news for me this week.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we all saw what happened in the preseason game. He fumbled again, which he fumbled six times last year. Not good. But apparently, I saw a report, did not read the whole thing, not going to lie, but apparently Brian Robinson, rookie out of Alabama, was taking snaps with the first team in practice today. So, not saying Gibson's, like, done, but looks like he's in the doghouse right now. So, honestly, if his ADP drops a lot because of this and he goes back to being normal Gibson, could be a value, but it's a pretty risky proposition if you ask me.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I don't know if you guys had anything else newsworthy to talk about. Otherwise, we can kind of get into a little game segment that I've got for you guys.
Oh, is this trivia night finally?
A little bit. Oh, you excited? Okay.
I'm pumped. The one thing I do want to bring up that we didn't have is Juju Smith-Schuster hasn't practiced this week due to a sore knee. Does that, this is kind of for everybody, does that like make you a little worried about him? You think it's just rest? You know, what are your thoughts on it?
I'm good with it. I'm not concerned.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's still so early that I mean, aren't we still like 3 or 4 weeks until first week?
I think
it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it.
I'd rather it be like a hamstring issue just because everybody has hamstring issues in training camp, but
me too.
Yeah, it'll be all right.
I think it'll be okay. I mean, it's definitely not something you want to see, but it doesn't seem to be too big of a concern at this point.
I hadn't seen anything about it yet, so
If this lingers for a week and he doesn't practice for a week, maybe it's a little more, hurt and sore. But I think as of now, it's not something to be too concerned about.
Yeah. Also, Chiefs focused. Apparently, Mecole Hardman. I heard first that he got carted off the field at practice today, but then I was hearing also that he walked off under his own power. So that's a little less fantasy relevant. I don't think Mecole Hardman was being drafted on many rosters, but could have implications to other Chiefs.
Sky Moore season.
Absolutely. I know.
Connor, he won't be good this year. Wink, wink. he'll be. No.
He won't go in the top five of our fantasy dynasty draft. No.
No. Ooh. No, he wouldn't do that. Connor, what do you want for the fourth pick again?
All right. Let's get into the next segment. So we're going to play a little game. It's it's a really good name for this game. It's called Guess That Player. And you guys are going to guess the player that I'm describing. Take your guesses until the end. I'm going to give a few stats. Yeah, just stats off last year, last year's fantasy performance, kind of where they're going this year and what their outlook might be for this upcoming season. So I'm going to say everything you guys think. We'll go one by one. Everybody give me their guess, and then I'll tell you what it is. I think Nate, you guys can get these.
Nate, do I have to wait like I did last time we did like a trivia thing?
Yes, you have to wait.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. So this first player we're going to look at is a wide receiver.
Sky Moore.
So last year they missed four games, but were tied for sixth for touchdowns with 10 total touchdowns last year. So they're fourth in the NFL for 2021 in touchdown to target ratio, 10th in fantasy points per touch ratio, and top 15 in fantasy points per game. They finished, despite missing four games, they ended as the wide receiver 28, and they're currently at ADP 83, being drafted around receivers like Hunter Renfrow, Gabe Davis, and Tyler Lockett. That's all I've got. Let's go to Connor first. Give me your guess for who this might be.
Is it Chase Claypool?
Good guess. John?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Also a good guess. Leighton, what do you got? Oh,
you guys are crazy. It's Adam Thielen.
It is Adam Thielen.
Let's go.
I knew Leighton was going to get that. Leighton is so locked into the Vikings offense. It's not even funny.
Dude, as soon as you said, he was like after you went like, oh, he's being drafted on Tyler Lockett. I'm like, I got it.
Yep. So this one, I think the main concern with Thielen right now is he's aging quite a bit. And Justin Jefferson's absolutely emerged as the number one wide receiver in that offense, possibly one of the top, honestly, could be the top receiver this coming year. But age concerns for Thielen. But it's crazy. The fourth
Nate, in how touchdowns old is he? Per target. Sorry.
I want to say he's 31. I actually don't know that for a fact.
He's not that old then, but yeah.
He's 31.
31, yeah. But he's definitely a favorite target of Kirk Cousins. I just think that stat with the touchdowns per target is insane. I can actually pull that up here real quick. He's been getting just under 0.1 touchdowns. Or no, excuse me. He's getting over 0.1 touchdowns per target.
That's crazy.
Which is wild. Like, absolutely is shattering everybody else around his ADP. And
that's awesome.
Honestly, like 60 spots above him. So he's great. Just kind of a guy I hadn't really been considering this year, but somebody to keep your eye on. All right. So the next one I've got is a running back. So this running back missed two games last year. They were ninth in total targets for all running backs in the NFL, eighth in rushing touchdowns. 11th in receptions per target, which is kind of an interesting one. So it's just like when they're getting targeted, they're actually catching the ball most of the time. But this is kind of a crazy stat, 11. Most of those guys that were above him were guys that were getting very few targets. And so they were kind of getting elevated, just a smaller sample size. But it was by far the leader in that category for players with over 50 receptions. He had zero receiving touchdowns. Was 14th in fantasy points per game, and his current ADP is about 50 on ESPN. So I'm gonna kick this one over to Leighton first.
Oh, we'll I go think snake so draft. Handicapped.
We'll go snake draft.
Man, I honestly, I'm kind of torn between some guys. You said ADP of 50.
About 50.
I think I know who it is, but man, it's just, is it Josh Jacobs?
Good guess, John.
It is Josh Jacobs.
Good guess. Connor?
Josh Jacobs sounds about right. The other one could be
Jason,
but I don't think the numbers quite line up. But yeah. Josh Jacobs.
Yeah.
Josh Jacobs. Layton
leads us off strong.
A great job. I'm very proud of you guys. But no, I thought this one was pretty interesting. I didn't realize he was as much of a kind of receiving threat as he was. He's kind of an interesting guy. He, I don't know.
He has a lot of game.
Yeah, he has a lot of like 20-point games and a lot of like sub 10-point games, and his average always falls around like 16 points, fantasy points for the season.
That's a rare sighting of Leighton gassing up a Raiders running back.
Yeah, honestly. First time for everything. All right. Hey, well, that's kind of all I had for that little game. Appreciate you guys humoring me with that. Guess I'll have to make them harder next time.
No, they were great.
That was good.
All right. Well, really this good. One, this next one we did, Connor kind of helped us all out. We were going to pick two players in each list, each player's respective ADP, and then everybody else would try and guess, or not guess, decide which player that they would rather have as a value Ooh. Pick at their current ADP. Connor went ahead and just banged out three of them. So we've got three sets here that we're going to kind of try and talk through. But Connor, I'm going to kick this over to you.
Yeah, absolutely. So the first one I noted down, I thought was kind of an interesting one. It's two quarterbacks. And in my opinion, feel free to disagree if you'd like, but in my opinion, I feel like they're very similar skill sets. I feel like they're actually very similar players. I feel like one just might be 2-3 years deeper into the NFL than the second guy here. So that's going to be Jalen Hurts as the first going around round 8, pick number 10, quarterback 6 overall, or Trey Lance going around pick 11th round, first overall, drafted as the quarterback 13. So this is kind of a toss-up to me. I have loved Jalen Hurts ever since he entered the league. I thought he's been a great fantasy pick. But that being said, questions still remain on how much of a pure thrower he can be. And he's going right around the same time as guys like Kyler Murray, who granted has his fair share of question marks as well. But Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson just a little bit ahead of them. So looking at that and comparing it to almost 3 full rounds later, a Trey Lance on a very similar seeming skill set, one that they might be willing to run the ball a little bit harder with Trey Lance down in San Francisco, all the way at quarterback 13. I think the value play could be Trey Lance there if you're willing to wait on a quarterback and get someone like, you know, Kareem Hunt, Devontae Smith, Juju, Rashad Bateman, Adam Thielen in that kind of Jalen Hurts range.
John?
All right. So for this one, it's pretty tough for me. I don't know. The quarterback position is just such a difficult one to draft, in my opinion. And I'm just all about the guys going late. So just simply from that draft strategy, I'm going to go with Trey Lance on this one. Even though there's not a huge difference in ADP here, there's just a lot of quarterbacks coming after this. So to name a few coming after Jalen Hurts: Dak Prescott, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, Matt Stafford. And then it's followed by Trey Lance, Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, Trevor Lawrence. I would honestly be okay having any of those guys that I just named as my starting quarterback for my fantasy team. And I don't think that there's a huge difference between Jalen Hurts and any of those guys. Now, the rushing upside is there with Hurts and Trey Lance, more so than any of those other players that were named. But streaming is just such a valuable strategy in fantasy football. It allows you to, you know, either draft another player that you think has value to keep on your bench, and then that quarterback position is flexible and it's fluid, and there's always somebody new in there based on your matchup. Like, you never have to play a tough defense if you're streaming your quarterbacks, if somebody's available, obviously. So it's not just ADP. It's also ADP plus a roster spot plus streaming matchups. So just my opinion, but if you're waiting this long for a quarterback, I'd rather just wait for Trey Lance.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with John here. Obviously, I love Jalen Hurts. If you guys listened to any podcast last year, you know how much I love him. And that's how I know Connor was a loyal listener. He liked him from the beginning, too, just like me. So, yeah, I still like him where he's going. Like, I don't think he's going too high. And with the addition of A.J. Brown, I think he should see hopefully a better, more open receivers. I'll just put it that way. And I think Trey Lance is definitely the more risky pick, and that's why his ADP shows. But I don't know. It's when I look at it, would I rather trust Nick Sirianni or Kyle Shanahan to get the most out of the quarterback? And I think everybody in here and everybody listening would probably pick Kyle Shanahan. So that's probably why I choose Trey Lance. And just because, you know, his ceiling could be like league winning upside potentially. Whereas like Jalen Hurts, he was great last year. I just don't know if he can like be the quarterback one personally, but I think there's a chance, rather small, that Trey Lance could actually maybe like pull it off.
Yeah. Well, to be different, I'm going to have to go with Jalen Hurts here, I think.
My God.
And it's going to depend on, for me, based off ESPN rankings, it's going to depend on who's still available when Jalen Hurts is like in the draftable range. And I think I'm a little bit down on the quarterbacks that are coming after Jalen Hurts this year. I'm probably, with the exception of Russell Wilson, I'm a little bit high on Russell Wilson this year. Like Dak Prescott, I don't really love it there. I mean, I don't think their offense is anything special anymore with the loss of Amari. Michael Gallup's out to begin the year. Don't love that. I mean, Tom Brady, kind of a regression at the offensive line. He's still going to get his touchdowns for sure. But don't love Aaron Rodgers after what we're hearing about their wide receivers. And then I don't really love any of the other positional players after that. So besides just like a handful. But so I think I'm comfortable taking Jalen Hurts there if there's no other, I think, big value pick for me that's still available. If not, then, I mean, I think Trey Lance is a safe pick. I think even Kirk Cousins is a safe pick this year if we want to really wait and sit on a quarterback. But for me personally, I think I can take Jalen Hurts just if rankings fall the way they are and picks are coming off the board like that. I'll take him and say see you to all these other players that are coming after and be okay with it, I think.
Yeah, I agree with what you're saying, Nate. Sorry to cut you off, Connor. But
no, you're good.
I definitely think after Jalen Hurts, that's like a little bit of a tier break in quarterbacks. Mm-hmm, yeah. Like, I know definitely. You like Russell Wilson. I think he tops the next tier, but kind of just depends who's on the board. But I think if you draft a guy like Jalen Hurts, at least for me, I wouldn't feel the need to draft like a second quarterback, where if I drafted Trey Lance and like a value guy like Stafford also fell, you know, I'd probably be tempted to pick him up just in case things didn't work out for me.
Yep.
Yeah, I would agree. But, and kind of building on your case with the Kirk Cousins being a safe, doable pick this year, if you're in a deeper league and you're committed and willing to kind of punt or stream on that quarterback position, I don't hate Derek Carr at his ADP either this year.
Oh, I do.
I think with Devontae coming in, I think Derek Carr and the Raiders offense could get a little pass happy this year. And I could see him at bare minimum coming out of the gates hot and then maybe having some good trade value down the line. But I see a world where they try to force feed both Darren Waller and Devontae Adams a lot of targets. And anytime you're throwing the ball to two elite playmakers, good things are bound to happen.
Mm-hmm. Wade, do you have any pushback on that? I know you.
Yeah, what do we got? What's the case?
I don't want to sound, you know, I don't want to be that guy, but it is Derek Carr, first of all. But I don't know. I just don't know how I feel that Josh McDaniels as the offensive play caller coming from New England. I mean, obviously throughout Tom Brady's career and even after Tom Brady, they've been a run first, you know, with like 50 different running backs and then throw type of person. Granted, McDaniels didn't really have the type of weapons that they have in Las Vegas now, but that's probably where I'd be a little bit, you know, nervous kind of going in with that. But I think Derek Carr is a safe option, but he's never thrown more than 30 touchdowns his entire career. There's no rushing upside. So it's definitely like a safe pick. He won't like, I mean, unless he plays the Chiefs, he's not going to bomb. So I think it's definitely a safe pick if you're going for a really late quarterback, but I personally like to draft somebody with just a little bit more upside.
Yeah, I kind of agree with Layton there. Safe pick for Derek Carr. I do think he has a little bit of upside. I think he'll have to throw for maybe 35 touchdowns this year. But yeah, that's a good point to make too. So this next one, Connor, I see you've got a little duel down in Miami.
Yeah, a little Miami duel between the two wide receivers. So we got Tyreek Hill going at the back end of the second round, 2.07, drafted as the wide receiver 8, or Jaylen Waddle at the top of the 4th, getting drafted at wide receiver 13. They're not too far apart in terms of ADP, but it is an interesting case because it seems like one of them is going to be the de facto number one by the end of the year, and one of them will definitely be closer to a number two. So, and I really think it could be either of them. So it might just come down to player preference for everyone here. But that was an interesting one for me. What do you guys think?
I feel like we should just leave the room while John kind of takes this one.
yeah, no, this one's definitely this one's close to my heart. I'm completely in on Jaylen Waddle this season. We've had a couple, I wouldn't say arguments. We've had a couple discussions on Jaylen Waddle and Tyreek Hill. I fully believe that Jaylen Waddle has, like, in the best case scenario, I'd say top five upside this season. Now, granted, that would mean that Tyreek Hill has a huge drop off in production, but I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility that they both finish as top 10 wide receivers. I like both of them coming into the season. I think Tyreek Hill probably, as it stands right now, I think he's probably more of a gadget weapon for the Dolphins. Like, you can do more. You can utilize Tyreek Hill more in the offense in different ways, but as far as a pure receiver goes, I think Jaylen Waddle is probably the better receiver here, and that's a bold take, you know. And I'm really not trying to be a salty Kansas City fan, because Tyreek Hill was great for the Chiefs, and I love every minute that we had with him, and it sucks to see him go. Almost every minute. But it doesn't change the fact that Miami invested a ton of draft capital, which in my opinion is more important than dollars spent in free agency on a guy who's already 28 years old, 27 years old. So the Tyreek Hill show is still going, but it won't last very long. So I like Jaylen Waddle here, especially because he's going after Tyreek Hill. And I don't think, like you said, Connor, I don't think there's a significant difference between these two guys. So if I can get one of them, you know, a full round and a half later, I'm definitely going to take Jaylen Waddle here.
I don't have much else to say. I'm kind of with John on this one.
This is an interesting one, because if I'm being honest, I'm kind of out on both of these players, but I'd probably, if I had to choose one at their ADPs, I'd probably also take Waddle, because I mean, he had a ton of targets and receptions last year, and I just could totally see teams taking away Tyreek's deep bomb on him. But I mean, the downside for both is Tua, obviously. But, I mean, with their new coach, what's his last name?
Daniels.
McDaniels.
Yes, McDaniels? Ah.
Yes, McDaniels. Thank you, guys. I heard reports that they're wanting to use Tyreek in, like, the Deebo Samuel role in the offense. Obviously, he's still a deep threat. And like John said, they gave up a ton of draft picks and a ton of money to get Tyreek Hill on the team. And so I just think they're going to try to, like, force feed him the ball a ton. But I know there's a stat out there. I don't know the direct number off the top of my head, but I know a strong majority of like really high rated fantasy wide receivers that switch teams, they don't, you know, replicate as much as they had on the previous team. So I think that's probably the case for both Devontae and Tyreek. Doesn't mean they won't be good, but I just really like the running backs in the first two rounds a lot this year. So I'm probably not taking Tyreek in like any league.
Yeah, very interesting. I think I don't think I disagree with you guys on leaning Waddle there. I'm going to be very interesting to watch how this plays out. I think 2-7 might start beginning to get kind of risky on Tyreek with kind of everything we've talked about here. But I also more or less can see a road where both of these guys perform really well. I could see Tyreek thriving in that Deebo Samuel role, just utilizing his speed, his quickness, coming out of the backfield, coming out on screens or kind of short passes and just letting the athlete take over. And if they do truly do that, I could see Jalen Waddle at the same time taking over the wide receiver one role where, you know, Tyreek might be getting force-fed targets here, but when they're trying to throw the ball and target a wide receiver, I could see them leaning a lot more on Jalen Waddle there. So I think Jalen Waddle is probably the smarter pick, but I also see where both these guys could be top 10, top 15 wide receivers on the same offense. So I'm excited to see how that plays out in Miami. It's going to be interesting for sure.
Yeah, I definitely think this might be a hot take too. I think those two receivers have the best shot at being like both top 15, and that's including T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase. I think there's a lot of maybe a little bit too much hype around, you know, T. Higgins, but, you know, there's always at least one offense, you know, with two top 15 guys. So if I had to put money on, I'd put it on these two.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. And then our third pairing here is another set of teammates with a much more drastic ADP difference here. We kind of touched on it earlier. But that's going to be Aaron Jones going at the top of the second round, drafted as running back 13, and A.J. Dillon going in the 10th round, end of the 10th, ranked at running back 33. On my end, personally, I think A.J. Dillon is the pick far and away here. With the value you're getting at the end of the 10th round at running back 33, there's a lot less risk than taking a guy 2-2. And I think we touched on it earlier as well with reports that both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon could see 50 receptions each this year and no real true wide receivers on the roster. I think A.J. Dillon has potential to be a real league winner. And I could see a lot of sets where Aaron Jones is lined up in the slot as a receiver and A.J. Dillon is lined up behind Aaron Rodgers, especially in the red zone where they have the option to either kind of throw a quick underneath to Aaron Jones or they can, make the read and punch it up the gut with Quadzilla and just go for the touchdown. So I think A.J. Dillon will be a guy I'm targeting for sure in a lot of drafts this year.
Man, why didn't we wait till next week to have Connor on?
should we postpone this one? Let's post it next Monday.
We definitely can, but I definitely, Nate, I'm curious about your thoughts because I know you're really high on Aaron Jones this year.
Yeah, I've kind of cooled off on it. I still think for this exercise, I 100% agree with the A.J. Dillon pick. There's no risk where he's going in the 11th round or 10th round. I don't think there's any risk there. I think there's a lot of other really good options around Aaron Jones. And if they're going to be – if they're going to see equal production or there's not going to be much of a difference between their production, it's A.J. Dillon 100%.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with this. A.J. Dillon's definitely one of those guys I have highlighted on my own personal draft, you know, rankings heading into the first drafts coming up this weekend. But I don't know. I just – to get a guy like A.J. Dillon who, he was pretty good last year. What did he finish as? RB like 20 something, right? Last year?
Early 20s, yeah.
Early 20s. To get him at the 10th, 11th round, I think is a steal. I definitely think he's going to outperform where you're drafting him. And if you ask me, like, if Aaron Jones gets hurt, for example, because he's the older player, he's going to be 28, I believe. You know, if he gets hurt, isn't AJ Dillon like a automatic start, maybe even top 5 to 6 RB lock?
Yeah.
And I guess you could put the same argument for Aaron Jones, but, you know, when it comes to a younger player that they drafted, you know, and if AJ or if Aaron Jones just like gets a little knock and Aaron Jones sees a lot more uptick in that work, I mean, that's a league winning pick, you know, granted with some circumstances happening, but you know, it's kind of the same thing as Javonte and Melvin Gordon. But if Melvin Gordon got hurt, we'd all be high on Javonte. Mm-hmm. But if, you know, if the same thing happens in this situation, you know, AJ Dillon could win you your league.
Yeah. Sorry to butt back in. I think I was so high on Aaron Jones before it was because of the efficiency stats that I was seeing from him. Just his like yards per target, yards per catch, or yards per carry, all of that with very low opportunities. I mean, mm-hmm. for top 25 running backs, he was darn near towards the floor of that list in terms of targets per game or carries per game, just opportunities in general. So I thought with the departure of Davante Adams, it was Aaron Jones is going to be the most talented offensive weapon there with Aaron Rodgers. And I really liked that upside for him. I thought where he's going is RB13, he would have the opportunity to get into that, you know, like almost top 7 range of running backs. I thought the kind of the path was there for him. But I mean, just if that's their plan with AJ Dillon to kind of use them both in that manner, then it definitely the cannibalism effect kind of makes me fade that take now.
John, what do you think?
I want to be team Aaron Jones, but I mean, at that, you know, at those, at, I mean, come on, he's being drafted as RB33. I like if you had to put odds on like that is free money. Like he's going to finish higher than RB33 outside of injury. So like, there's just, I mean, from what. Different, like we could come into the year and Aaron Jones is the guy and AJ Dillon doesn't have a role in the offense. Like it's kind of interesting when you throw in crazy scenarios like that mm-hmm. you just never see coming because it happens every season. Like let's just say oh my gosh, I forgot the running back in New York. Who's the backup running back there? We for talked the about
the Jets.
Michael Carter?
No, for the Giants.
It's a Matt Breida.
Yeah. Let's say Matt Breida comes in and he gets like, he averages 60% of the snaps, like as a second back and he's lining up in the slot. Like there are just crazy scenarios that take away from guys' usage that just, it happens every year. So I could see this being one where there's just a ton of hype around AJ Dillon. And then we get to the season and it's not there. It just doesn't happen. And he's drafted pretty close to where he finishes because he doesn't have a role in the offense. Like Green Bay is already going to be hectic this season. And it wouldn't shock me if things go poorly and they go for something really stupid, like cutting AJ Dillon out of the offense. I don't know. I'm not saying it's likely, but I could see something weird like that happening here.
Yeah. There's a lot of weird voodoo going on in Green Bay.
Yeah.
Like Aaron Rodgers' tattoo, him calling out the receivers. I don't know, man. It's just
trouble in paradise.
Seems yeah. like it.
It's probably the end of an era in Green Bay.
It's getting there for sure. So I actually just thought of this one as we were kind of talking about draft value here. But
sure.
I've been seeing a lot of kind of big-name fantasy football guys starting to drop reports. And one running back in particular going very early in drafts is kind of topping the charts on people's do not draft lists. I was very curious to see what you guys' thoughts were on that. That player is going to be DeAndre Swift, on pace as a top 3 PPR running back last season until his injury kind of derailed things a little bit. I have been all in on him in many mock drafts this year, but now I'm starting to get a little nervous seeing what the big names are saying on him. What are you guys' thoughts? Do you think he'll live up to round two, fourth overall, running back seven pick? And is he going to kind of continue this ascent he's been on, or is that starting to get up just a little bit too high to make the investment on him?
I can jump in real quick. I don't know if this is more training camp noise or what, but I've heard rumors that the plan in Detroit is to kind of have almost a 60-40 split between DeAndre Swift and Jamal Williams. And so I think at first, like initially, that turned me off pretty quickly to DeAndre Swift being drafted that high. But I think a thing to keep in mind, and if you go back and kind of look at his game logs, DeAndre Swift has never really been the guy to get over like 70% snap percentage.
True.
He's really never been that kind of player. And so I think I wouldn't be too worried about, again, just running back room cannibalism. If Jamal Williams is going to be a factor in that offense and going to be a key piece. So I don't really have anything to go further as far as like, do I love DeAndre Swift? I probably like maybe a couple other players that are kind of that front half of the second round. I'm thinking of Mixon and maybe Kamara. But if DeAndre Swift fell on my lap, I'm going to be super happy. Like he's going to be great. Where's he getting drafted right now? RB
seven. RB seven, 14th overall.
Mm-hmm. Like early to mid second round, typically.
Yeah, I
don't know if I would consider him a top running back prospect. I don't know if he could be RB1 to me. What do you guys think?
The way that I see DeAndre Swift, it's not a pick that I think you're going to walk away from the draft thinking like, oh yeah, like I nailed that one. But I think you're going to look back afterwards and he's going to be a super solid option. Like, I mean, I remember DeAndre Swift coming out of college. I believe that he went to Georgia. He was like, he was a, like, no pun intended, he was a dog. Like,
dog.
He really was. And
Zach Wilson.
Yes, just like Zach Wilson. Well, Zach Wilson really became a dog after he got out of college. Recently, this offseason, he became a dog. But anyway, that's besides the point in the words of Pat McAfee. So I think DeAndre Swift is quietly going to come into the season. I think, Nate, you hit it right on the head. He's always been in that type of situation with, you know, he's splitting that backfield work, and I don't think it's going to have a huge impact on him. If he stays healthy, DeAndre Swift will be a top five running back.
Oh.
Love it.
John, are you going to take him at one?
To be determined, but no.
No. I kind of figured. Yeah, so I do like DeAndre Swift this year. I understand like the hesitation with it, with Jamal Williams kind of getting a lot of work too. The instant like comparison I had, and not saying DeAndre Swift is going to like have this type of season. But remember when Alvin Kamara, it was like his first or second year and he was just dominating. But remember who else was there? Was like Mark Ingram. Like when he was actually like a good Mark Ingram, because they basically split the backfield almost.
They did, yeah.
Yeah,
Kamara was just way more efficient, got a lot of, you know, touches and targets, obviously, when it really mattered. Like Mark Ingram was still like a solid, like maybe like running back 20 to 30. I'd have to go back and look. I don't know if Jamal Williams was
better than that even.
Yeah, he might have been better than that.
Yeah, he was.
But, like, I don't think Jamal Williams is that good. And I'm not saying, again, DeAndre Swift's going to do what Kamara did. But, like, that almost kind of, like, makes me believe more in DeAndre Swift because he's been injury prone. You know, if they were like, mm-hmm. oh, we're going to give 80 to 90% of the snaps to DeAndre Swift, I'd be nervous that he'd, like, get hurt again. Yeah. But since it seems like they're going to use him more sparingly, they can – hopefully get like, you know, 100% of DeAndre Swift throughout the year instead of just, you know, because it's hard to be in every it's hard to be a workhorse back. We all know that. So they always like miss games, you know, but they're great when they play. So I don't know. It's very interesting. I definitely think it's a very solid second round pick, because if you can get, you know, like a if you have like the fourth or fifth pick or something, and you get like, I don't know, like Austin Eckler, Derrick Henry, you know, fill in the blank, and then you can come back around in the second round and get like a DeAndre Swift or even like a Joe Mixon, like Nate said, I think that's a pretty good start to draft if you ask me. But I don't have that pick, so I just think it's very interesting, and it's a great situation to monitor kind of going forward.
Yeah, that was a good one.
All right. And Connor's just bringing out all the stops this week.
Connor is. Really is. This is great. He's even ad-libbing these.
Yeah, who needs a script?
Yeah, I've been cooped up in the office looking at fantasy football as we go through training camp. I've got a lot of takes to get off.
Honestly, I wish I could not say the same. All right, so that was very fun. I think that was a good, helpful little thing to go through, because we're all going to be faced with those decisions as we get into our drafts and the crunch time. But we're going to spin off a little bit here and kind of get into a topic we've never really discussed on this show at all. As far as draft strategies go for a redraft league, but that is going to be the zero running back strategy for a redraft league. And I don't really know how we want to go about this. If we want to do it from certain positions and just kind of weigh what it might look like from, you know, middle of the first round slot to back of the first round or what. But
So, you know, obviously playing fantasy football for so long, like we all have, we've all heard about it. I've personally never tried it, but what do you consider the zero RB strategy? Like, when do you have to, like, quote unquote, wait until to like start thinking?
Yeah,
this is my question as well.
Yeah. Like, so I've been doing a lot of reading on it this year, because just with how weird this board is, in my opinion, this year, it might be a good opportunity to look into it. I mean, if you're looking at Saquon and, you know, end of the third, you're looking at Zeke in the fourth, like, will Ezekiel Elliott be the same guy that he was in his first couple of years? No. Will he outperform running back 20? I think he probably will. So to get that kind of a value there, it really opens the door a little bit. In terms of how far you want to wait, I believe it's first three picks are wide receivers, and then you look at doing running back. And then from there, you kind of play how the draft falls and where guys are at for tight end or quarterback. But it's basically three wide receivers, two running backs, and then you're getting your tight end, your quarterback, more wide receivers, and you're really punting – running back after you get those first kind of double RB2 kind of guys until you start getting into these deep values. So you're looking at not touching another running back until kind of AJ Dillon, James Robinson, the Seahawks running backs, those kind of guys. And you're kind of trying to hit on a big one late. The one caveat I'd say to the zero RB strategy, and I actually just kind of realized this last 7 day week, but it's a lot more geared towards flex 10 leagues, so three wide receivers, or geared a lot more towards like a double flex league with two wide receivers. If you're in a standard flex 9 league, running back is still king, regardless of if it's PPR or not. So you don't want to go too crazy and kind of get ahead of your skis on this strategy, but given the right kind of roster breakdown, where your draft position is, same kind of deal. You're not going to do it out of the one spot, out of the two spot. You're going to take your elite running back there. But when things kind of fall right for you and you're in the right, you know, full point PPR, flex 10, three wide receiver kind of league, it could start getting interesting. So yeah, I'd be curious to hear your guys' thoughts. I think either 5 or that 9-10 slot or 5-6, 9-10 are kind of the great spots for it this year if you're going to really go for it and commit to it. And then I like kind of the Travis Etienne's, the Montgomery's, the Zeke Elliott's kind of after that. Mm-hmm.
I think this is a really kind of a good thing to maybe do a couple zero RB draft strategies or like mock drafts as you're kind of gearing up for one of your draft seasons. But for me, I totally agree that like I think the 5, 6, 9, 10 is where it makes the most sense. I think if you're in the 5 and you see Taylor, CMC, who's that third one? Eckler and Henry or Najee or whatever go, and you've got Justin Jefferson or Cooper Kupp sitting in your lap, I think that makes sense to do it there. But I don't think for me, I would be going into a draft being like, I'm doing a zero RB strategy. This is how I'm going to ride. I think it's kind of more something that I think if certain wide receivers fall to me, like in the second round especially, I think that might be an opportunity to pivot and maybe go more zero RB. And for me, I don't know if I could go all three or the first three picks being wide receiver. I think I might have to just limit it to the first two if I were going to go that route.
So, yeah, I've never tried the three wide receiver strategy. It's definitely a strategy. I've had conversations with people about it being like, this sounds dumb, but at the end of the day, you're trying to score fantasy points. Wide receivers present you with the opportunity in full PPR to outscore running backs in a certain range, but the running back scarcity definitely exists in fantasy football, especially at the top end. And I think this season, more than ever, it's been more broadcast that third round running backs don't hit. Looking at it now, I don't know if I agree with that, because there's a lot of valuable guys going in.
A lot of talent in the third this year.
Like, I mean, there's Aaron Jones, there's Ezekiel Elliott, there's Saquon Barkley sometimes.
Nick Chubb.
Javonte Williams. It is hard to believe that this year that will stay true. But it presents an interesting opportunity, because you could potentially grab a guy like James Conner after your third wide receiver at that turn, or you could grab a guy like Ezekiel Elliott. Those are people who we've never seen available before. So I think if there is a year to do it, it may be this year. Am I going to try it? Probably not. But if you end up there, I think it's important to understand that like the draft isn't over. There are a lot of guys going later on. Like, there's opportunity with Breece Hall. There's opportunity with Travis Etienne. There's opportunity with A.J. Dillon. There's opportunity with Clyde Edwards-Helaire. There are guys who have the upside later on in the draft that you can take advantage of if you find yourself in a bad situation where you didn't anticipate having three wide receivers to start the draft. But, you know, like Mike Evans fell to you at 3-10. Like, Mike Evans is a top 10 wide receiver every season. It's not a bad pick. Like, calm yourself down. Revert to understanding who is going to be available later on in drafts and, you know, make the right pick. That's honestly all that it takes. Don't panic. Assess where you're at, assess your team, figure out what you need, find value, make sure that you get enough running backs to subsidize that lack thereof in the early portion of your draft. But it's just about strategy. You have to adjust accordingly for the later part of the draft.
That was beautiful.
Thank you. Appreciate it. It's okay, guys. Just take a deep breath. Calm down. We haven't been here before, but by golly, we're trying it this time. So you'll make it, I promise.
Yeah, it's definitely interesting this year, because I know I've talked about it before on the podcast, is I think this year is probably the deepest running back, like, in terms of I've seen of it, maybe since I've started playing or like been really into it. But there's so many guys, like John just listed off so many people in the third, fourth, fifth round that, you know, in previous years you'd probably have to draft them in like the late second, third, fourth. And it just presents a unique opportunity, because I feel like a lot of people, you know, that casual fantasy football players out there, they're like, oh, yep, just go running back first round, just, you know, the best one available or the one you like the most, and then just kind of move on and just wherever the draft takes you after that it goes. Instead of, I mean, when you have like Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, Cooper Kupp up there, I mean, those guys are going to be pretty freaking good. So, I mean, if you start with Cooper Kupp, you know, no matter where, I mean, I've even heard people say they consider him at number one. I think that's a little much, but, you know, it, you're not crazy for doing that. And kind of like Connor mentioned earlier with the game of fantasy evolving with the sport of football, I think this is one of those steps where, you know, you kind of have to realize that the wide receiver position has become a lot more valuable in the actual game of football. So, and thus it's translating into fantasy football as well. Because I remember Deebo Samuel, what was he, like the third or fourth wide receiver last year?
Third.
And he had like just a little bit over 300 total fantasy points in, you know, PPR scoring. And like two or three years ago, that would have been by far and away the number one wide receiver, you know? So it's just interesting that it shows how good Cooper Kupp was, but it's just interesting that Deebo Samuel can do that as the third wide receiver. And it's just, so I think the floor is obviously raised a lot and so is the ceiling. So it's just picking the right guys at the right position and, you know, don't get blinded by the position you want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, I mean, just for illustration's sake, say you're in the 10 spot, right? And for the sake of the hypothetical, I won't say anyone falls, but as we know, it's very possible, you know, a Jamar Chase, a Justin Jefferson, a Cooper Kupp falls to that end of the first round if you see a big run on running backs. But for the sake of the hypothetical, say you're in the 10 spot in a 10-man league and you start and you go Devontae Adams and then you can go Deebo Samuel, Stephon Diggs, or CeeDee Lamb. So you have, we'll say, for the sake of the exercise, Devontae Adams and Deebo Samuel. You come back around and you go, what would that put it at, 2:39? Mm-hmm. You go.
You might Ezekiel, get like.
Go ahead. Ezekiel Elliott and Mike Evans, potentially. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely possible.
As a possibility. And then you come back around. Where is he? And you go ETN. And then you have your pick of, you know, Elijah Mitchell, Mike Thomas, Amari Cooper, Chris Godwin, Kyle Pitts. If you're going to tell me that you're in a three wide receiver league, your running backs are Ezekiel Elliott, Travis Etienne, and your wide receivers are Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, and Mike Evans, you've got a pretty good chance of being a serious contender in that league, at least in my opinion.
Definitely.
And granted, the draft probably has to fall your way a little bit there, but we've talked about it already. There have been years where people would be ecstatic coming out of the first three rounds getting a Ezekiel Elliott and Travis Etienne type of guy as their running back too. And if you can find a way to do that in the third or fourth and fifth rounds and you've stacked three elite wide receivers, you're setting yourself up for success right there on draft night.
Yeah, that's interesting. This is a very weird year for running backs, I feel
like. Super weird year.
Yeah, it's definitely – I know I've talked about this also, but I feel like it's almost the changing of the guard. You have a lot of the older guys like Derrick Henry, Dalvin Cook, Kamara. Yeah, they're kind of – even Christian McCaffrey kind of. I feel like we only get them for another year or two. So, first of all, appreciate them if you have them on their team. You know, watch as much of them as you can. I'm not trying to sound like an old man, but the one thing I will say about the one thing I will say about this strategy is, you know, there's not a perfect fantasy football strategy. People have won, I'm sure, taking quarterbacks in the first round. You know, there's not like a perfect way to do it, or else everybody would do it, right? So just kind of the one good thing is if you've been in the league for a while, you can kind of anticipate what certain people will do. You know, oh yeah, this guy will definitely go running back, and then he's always going to take a receiver because he feels like he has to. So if you can know your league and just the type of format you have, you know, you know, you draft to win. You don't draft to, you know, just kind of have fun and, you know, oh, cool, I barely lost to John. Oh, well, you know, it's – so, I mean, if you believe in the zero RB, in the ceiling it has, you know, go for it. Try it, you know. You might be right, and then you might be a believer for life. But, you know, it's kind of like everything. There's ups and downs to strategy. So
or,
I think or this
you
might
have
easier
a,
for it.
Or you might have a punishment in 5 months.
I was going to say, this might be very self-explanatory, but how does the zero RB strategy go wrong? And how likely is it that the zero RB strategy can go wrong for you?
I don't think you get last, honestly. I don't think there's any scenario where you get last. Unless two of them get hurt.
Yeah, catastrophic injuries, but there's no avoiding that when that happens.
Because running backs miss games. Like, that's one thing that I think doesn't get touched on. Like, on average, oh gosh, I don't even remember the stat, but like, there aren't a ton of guys who play a full season at running backs. Like, most running backs miss two games, at least.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I think if you go zero RB, an interesting strategy I think you can do is towards the end of your draft, I would pick up some RB2s on a lot of teams. And I think I would go for the one that's popping into my head is Alexander Mattison.
Alexander Mattison, yeah.
Dalvin Cook is going to miss three games this year, guaranteed. He's done it every single year. I mean, I think if somebody like that, where it's like if there's an RB1 that has a track record of missing some games, I mean, you can grab those guys, stash them on your bench for a while, and you will get RB1 production out of them.
Naheem Hines. It's already been talked about that he's going to have a role in the offense regardless of Jonathan Taylor's health. So if JT goes down, I mean, name the guy after Naheem Hines. I'd be super impressed if either of you could. I have no idea who it is. And then the wide receiver group isn't super strong either. So,
yeah. And I know, John, you kind of mentioned this, but I mean, I feel like wide receivers don't get hurt that often.
No,
as compared to
the rate of the top 20 guys who are drafted, I'd say it's like 80-20 leaning towards running backs versus wide receivers of injuries every year.
Yeah, and what's interesting is, like, I feel like when a running back has like a down year, it's not most of the time, it's not necessarily due to a decline in talent. It's due to injury, right?
Bingo. You look at
DeAndre Swift last year, you look at Todd Gurley when he hurt his knee, you know, obviously he was still talented, but his body failed. Derrick Henry was very good. Then he got hurt. Dalvin Cook wasn't as good last year. Oh, he was hurt. Oh, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, was playing on a torn PCL or something, and he wasn't as good. You know, it's just nobody's denying they're talented. I mean, if Jamaal Charles never got hurt, he might still be playing right now. Okay, maybe not, but
there it is.
Hall of Famer Jamaal. Let's go.
Yeah.
Building on it too, I mean, if you're researching enough to run a draft-specific zero RB strategy, I assume you're doing this already, but the fantasy football season is long, and there will always be Cordarrelle Pattersons. There will always be James Robinsons. There will always be
David Elijah Johnson. Mitchell was one last year.
Elijah Mitchell's. If on it on the waiver wire and you can snag one of these guys off the waivers, you're adding a probably everyday starter in your running back cores. And that value just coming alone off the waiver wires, if you've already set up a strong wide receiver core, that can just put you over the top. So I won't say it's guaranteed to win you your league, finding someone good on the waiver wires with a zero RB strategy. But if you went zero RB and you find a Cordarrelle Patterson and Elijah Mitchell, something like that, I'd be willing to say the impact and boost it gives to your team is going to be a lot bigger than if you went running back, running back, running back to start your draft.
Yeah. Especially since if your league does fab for you know, free agency acquisition, and especially if you draft like four stud wide receivers in the first five or six rounds, honestly, just don't draft any more receivers. You know, you may want to draft one for a backup, but like, you don't really need to. I mean, just load up on all of these, like, you know, like Hail Marys, like AJ Dillon's, you know, backups and
some Tony Pollards.
One of them's going to hit. 49ers running back, because somebody's going to bust on
someone's
the team.
Someone's going to do something, yeah.
Yeah, and then when that running back emerges, you know, week one, week two, or week three, just, you know, go get him, and then you're set.
All right, boys. Here's the stat. Of the top 10 running backs last year, how many do you think never either sat out for a week or missed a game?
One.
Yeah.
Two. Jonathan Taylor and Najee Harris.
Najee. Oh, I forgot.
The two young guys.
Everybody else. Now, Joe Mixon, he was healthy all year, but he sat week 18. Everybody else missed time.
Yeah.
Joe Mixon, another relatively young guy, too, though.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. I'd definitely be open to it. I mean, because I know there's a stat out there. John, I know you know this. How many RB1s have been over the age of 27? Okay, maybe you don't know this. I'm sorry.
Oh, you were asking me the question.
Yes, yeah.
I think it's like one.
Yeah, it's like one.
Yeah.
It, like, who's been 28 or older? So, like, I mean, and it's not due to talent. I'm telling you, it's due to injury.
Yep. If you draft the healthiest team, you're probably going to win. Hashtag analysis.
Honestly, good at football.
Yes.
Perfect. That was very helpful, I think. I think it helped ease your concerns if you were thinking about going with some early wide receivers. Definitely helped me open my eyes a little bit. We'll see what comes this Saturday when the Chumps are drafting for their redraft league. We'll keep you posted on that. But thank y'all for tuning in.
I'm going to be happy all day, honestly.
It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, guys, for tuning in. I know this was kind of a long episode, but hope you enjoyed it. We definitely did. Connor, thank you for joining us. We'll have to have
pleasure having me. Yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Yep. Anytime. All right. Awesome. Well, take care, guys.
Take care.